Welcome to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up in today's program, in our Understanding the Scriptures segment, Dave and Tom will resume their exploration of the Gospel of John. And does Jesus want us all to be one? In Religion in the News, Sharia in Canada. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, what is the prophet Jeremiah saying in chapter 20? We hope you can stay with us. Our ministry, the Berean Call, offers many teaching materials, including books, tracts, audio and videotapes, and copies of our weekly broadcast on tape or compact disc. You may also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, which we offer free of charge. We'll let you know how to order later in the program. Now, this week's cover article. Dave and Tom continue with their discussion of Dave Hunt's book, Countdown to the Second Coming. Along with Dave Hunt, here's T.A. McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a program in which we encourage everyone who desires to know God's truth to look to God's Word for all that is essential for salvation and living one's life in a way that is pleasing to Him. In this segment of our program, we've been going through Dave Hunt's book, Countdown to the Second Coming, or, perhaps more accurately, we've been alluding to it because we've digressed a bit, Dave. And why? To present an overview of key biblical events from Genesis through Revelation with you, Dave, adding commentary on each event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been doing
that. Takes time.
It does take time. But we thought it would be helpful for those who are not familiar with Bible prophecy. So last week, we left off with the Battle of Armageddon, where the nations of the world are gathered to destroy Israel and Jerusalem. Now, Dave, they come close to doing it, but close is all God allows.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know how much. We don't want to go back over very much. On the other hand, this is a very important topic, and I mentioned that there are two purposes for Armageddon. One of them, God is going to destroy the nations that have been mistreating Israel. And that is the kind of a world in which we live. He says that very clearly. And I mentioned that I'm in the minority. I happen to believe that Ezekiel 38 and 39 refer to Armageddon. They can't refer to anything else. But in verse 16 of chapter 38, God says, I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me. He says he's going to destroy the nations that he brings against Israel.
Well, he did it with Babylon. He does it with every country that he uses to discipline, to bring correction to Israel. But then they don't get off, do they?
And this is the whole world this time.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world. In fact, you have an interesting prophecy there, and I don't think we referred to it. Zechariah chapter 12, we've talked about that. Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling and so forth. But verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Notice this. Well, God says, I will make. This is his doing. I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. And he says, unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Israel has had many enemies, you mentioned. Some of them, Babylon and Egypt and Assyria and so forth. Never in history have all of them been joined together against Israel. Every nation around Israel is against them, and that means it is very remarkable that they have survived. And they have. They've won every war because God said in verse 6 he would make Israel like fire that would devour the nations around them. Mm-hmm. And we have quoted, and let's quote it again, Joel 3, verse 2, where it's very apropos for today, where God says, I will also gather all nations, that's the whole world, United States included, I'm sorry, the rapture will change everything about America, no longer a Christian influence within, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them. That means I will discipline them for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And that ought to make President Bush tremble. It ought to make President Putin tremble and the United Nations and the European Union, because they are doing what God said they were not to do, and he will punish them for them. And as you know, the whole purpose of the roadmap to peace is we're going to divide the land. But anyway, Ezekiel 38, we didn't have time to get into it. Let me just call attention to the last part of that chapter. God says, my fury will come up in my face. Verse 18, that's frightening. In my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. In that day there will be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Now, notice this. So that the fishes of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, I mean, it's going to be centered in the land of Israel, but the whole world is going to shake. The beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. God is speaking, and he's coming back to this earth. That's what he says very clearly. The mountains will be thrown down. The steep places will fall. Every wall shall fall to the ground. There'll be an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord, Yahweh. So that's an incredible day that's coming. Everything on the face of this earth is going to shake at God's presence. But then, why do we know that this is Armageddon? Because chapter 39, verse 7, so will I make, well, that is the shaking of the nations. Two purposes for Armageddon: to destroy the nations, to punish, discipline the nations for what they've done to Israel. Number two, to discipline Israel and break their hard hearts. And they are going to be in such a desperate strait. Zechariah chapter 12, they will cry out for their Messiah to rescue them. Two-thirds of all Jews on the face of this earth will be killed. That's Zechariah chapter 13. And those who survive will believe in Christ. So notice what he says. I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. Now that couldn't be anything preliminary to the second coming, which is what we're supposed to get to today, I guess. Israel is saved now. Notice verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. Now that has to be Zechariah 12:10, where Yahweh, God says, they will look on me whom they have pierced. They will know who I am. They will recognize that Jesus is God, who died for their sins, came as a man, was resurrected, and there couldn't be anything else. The house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. Now, you couldn't have that some preliminary battle before the rapture, in the midst of Armageddon, and so forth. Verse 29 is conclusive. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord. Well, that's Zechariah chapter 12. I will pour upon them the spirit of supplication and so forth, and they will look on me whom they pierced. And then verse 28 says, I'm going to gather every Jew from the face of this earth back to the land of Israel. There won't be one left outside of Israel, and that has to be what Jesus mentions in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 29, 30, and so forth. He says he is going to send his angels, and they will gather his elect. That's Israel, my elect, he calls them, from the four winds back to Israel.
Dave, I began by saying that the armies of the nations come close to destroying Israel, Jerusalem, but close. Then Jesus intervenes. So the things that you're talking about, they happen just after his feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. We know there's going to be a great earthquake. There's going to be a splitting open of the land.
Well, Israel is the best military in the world. The Israeli Defense Forces, we mentioned, you know, they've got weapons, tremendous weapons. In fact, they've been working with the U.S. on some lasers that will knock an artillery shell out before it can get to you. And they can take care of missiles and so forth. They can deliver multiple warhead nuclear missiles from submarines. Yes, Israel has submarines. They even have satellites up in space to spy upon their neighbors and so forth. But they are no match for the whole world. And the whole world is coming against them. And you said they're going to be on the brink of destruction. God has to, sadly, bring them to that point without intervening so that they will be desperate and they will cry out. And Jesus said, this generation will not pass away. We talked about that. But it's been a week, and people forget. That's Matthew 24:34. This generation will not pass till all is fulfilled. Well, what does he mean, this generation? He called them a wicked generation, a rebellious generation, unbelieving generation, perverse and faithless. Israel as a whole, not every Israeli, not every Jew, but Israel as a whole would remain in unbelief and rejection of her Messiah until everything is fulfilled. Then that generation of unbelief and rebellion against God will have passed, and all Israel will be saved.
David, it's interesting that those who object to Israel being held up as the people of God, the replacement theologists, that's one of the very arguments that they use. Because, hey, how can that be? They're in unbelief. But you just described from the Scriptures why that has to be. That's a fulfillment of Scripture.
They have to come back to their land in unbelief because it's in their land that they come to belief. They come to faith in Christ. The replacement theologians, you talk about it, and this is a Calvinist belief. It is also a Catholic belief, as you know. They want the blessings that God promised Israel, but they don't want the curses. And you say people complain. Why should they get to be the chosen people? But Topol in Fiddler on the Roof, he had another complaint. Chosen people, why don't you choose somebody else? What has it gotten us? Discipline, problems. Mm-hmm. And, well, Jesus says it in Revelation, as many as I love, I chasten. So Israel is going to come in for some very tough chastening. The Bible calls it, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. The worst time for Israel yet lies ahead.
Mm-hmm. But that's right at the doorstep, as bad as it is, of the greatest time for Israel.
Yes, exactly.
Christ returns, and he sets up the thousand-year reign, in which he himself rules from Jerusalem.
Over the house of David, amen, and over the whole world. Yeah, so that really is the second coming. The second coming cannot occur until Antichrist has set up his kingdom, because a major purpose of the second coming is to destroy Antichrist and his kingdom. The second coming cannot occur until Israel is about to go under, about to be destroyed, because a major purpose of the second coming is to rescue Israel. And Jesus said, I mean, it's an amazing prophecy, Matthew 24:22, except those days are shortened, no flesh would survive. And you don't wipe out all flesh with bows and arrows and swords and spears. That was a prophecy concerning the weapons we have today that can indeed wipe out all flesh. Turn this earth into a sterile bit of dust, I guess, without even a mosquito or a microbe left on it. So that's what lies ahead. But that is not the rapture. We will have been taken out of here.
And we also, to move this up to the second coming, we return with him.
Exactly. It tells us, Zechariah 14, when his feet touch the Mount of Olives. That does not happen at the rapture. The rapture, very clearly, Paul says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So he does not come to this earth at the rapture. We are caught up to meet him in the air. But at the second coming, Zechariah 14 says, He brings, when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, he brings all the saints from heaven with him.
Mm-hmm. But Dave, does it, in that verse, it doesn't go beyond it. It doesn't say what we do. We're not going to be involved. Or how are we going to be involved? Do you have any idea?
Well, yes, we are going to rule and reign with him.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is during the thousand-year reign.
Thousand-year reign.
Millennial kingdom.
That's another interesting statement, Tom, that is made by, well, some really solid biblical prophecy teachers, and yet they can lay out for you all the campaign that this Armageddon apparently is a long campaign, and Christ fights here and he fights there, and then he comes from Bozrah with his garments and blood, and I don't think so. One word from Christ destroys Antichrist. So there may have been various phases to Armageddon as far as the world is concerned. But we don't have to fight with him. We're not coming down there with our fighting equipment on.
Our battle gear.
No. Jesus speaks the word, and that is the end. But apparently there have been some exchanges of very horrible weapons, because Christ says, unless those days are shortened, no flesh would survive.
Mm-hmm.
So at the second coming, he establishes his kingdom. He is known to his people, Israel. They are all converted. All Israel shall be saved. He that endures to the end shall be saved. In other words, all those who are alive at that time will be saved. Then we have the thousand-year millennial reign. Is that next on your,
that's next.
On your schedule?
Well, let's begin with the, there's a splitting of the Mount of Olives. There's water. I don't think this is just figurative or symbolic. The water goes forth to the Dead Sea and to the west, to the Mediterranean. The scripture where it talks about the earth cries out in Romans, groans. I think that's going to fulfill that.
Mm-hmm. There will be a time of cleansing. And that is one reason why some people say, well, Ezekiel 38, 39 couldn't be Armageddon. Because it says, for example, verse 12, and 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Well, I think it's going to take some time. In other words, it just isn't miraculous. What God does is miraculous, but then men have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he miraculously created this earth, and he miraculously made Adam and Eve, put them in this garden. But it says, it's a strange expression, it says Adam tilled the soil. Now, why would he do that? Well, he's not just sitting around. And you said, well, we have something to do. We have a task to fulfill. And I believe that we will be in charge of this earth, ruling over various cities, so forth. You might be mayor of Bend, Tom, or maybe of Oxnard, where you used to live, or who knows?
Could be.
But he will rule in righteousness. And then that brings us to a strange, well, it's very strange, you would say, because here Christ is in his resurrected, glorified body. Everybody has to behave. You don't get away with anything. The earth blossoms. The desert blossoms like a rose,
mm-hmm.
it says. This is better than the Garden of Eden.
Right.
There, Satan could enter, and he did. He cannot enter this earth. Now, it's not the new heavens and the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a renewed earth. It's been cleansed and blessed, and wow, I mean, the produce. Wow, we'll have glorified bodies. We won't need to eat, but apparently we can eat. Yet, men's hearts are not changed. Remember, the whole idea behind, or a major idea behind communism was, and a lot of sociologists believe this, and psychologists, the problem with man is not in his heart. It's that the environment is bad. He doesn't have enough to eat. He doesn't have a nice enough house and so forth. And communism is going to put a new suit of clothes on every man.
Sure. Chicken in every pot.
Right. Put everybody in a new house and so forth.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Right. We'll start with that.
And Jesus says, big deal. You still have the same rascals living in those suits. Now, I'll put a new man in every suit where they're willing to open their hearts to me, confess their sins, turn to me for salvation. Doesn't matter whether it's a new suit or an old suit, that's immaterial. So it's what is in the heart. Now, what is in the heart of man will be revealed at the millennium. I think it is the final proof of the incorrigible evil in the human heart. Mm-hmm. People say, well, I wasn't in the garden. I wouldn't have believed the serpent's lie. I wouldn't have eaten that forbidden fruit. Okay, it's going to be even better than that. And for 1,000 years, Satan is locked up. This is paradise on earth. But when he is loosed, Revelation 20 says, he deceives the nations. How could he deceive them when they've seen Christ there in his resurrected, glorified body, and we in our resurrected bodies? How could anyone believe a lie? But they do, and they come after Christ to destroy him in Jerusalem. So unless we are born again of the Spirit of God, and Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. We're born again by the Spirit of God through believing in Christ as the one who paid the penalty for our sins. Mm-hmm. There is no hope. You can't reform. It's not a psychological thing, a sociological thing. You're not going to get people to behave and turn over a new leaf and so forth. There must be a transformation in the heart. They must be born again by the Spirit of God. And, by the way, after the millennium, of course, comes the new heavens and the new earth. The whole thing is going to be destroyed.
But before we get to that, those born on earth during the time of the millennium, as you say, Dave, they have to receive Christ. They have to put their faith and trust in him. He will be ruling from Jerusalem with
a rod of iron.
Mm-hmm. Righteousness will prevail. But mm-hmm. you still have to come to him in order to...
You still have to admit you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that he is the one who is the Savior who died for our sins. And only those who have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus through the new birth will be able to inhabit the new universe that God is going to make.